You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
This week, an element which played hard to get, but once caught, gave a wide range of chemical applications. Simon Cotton.
If you study a timeline of the discovery of the chemical elements, you see that new elements have often been discovered in clusters, in parallel with some other breakthrough in science. Obviously, the transuranium elements were spin-off from developments in radiochemistry accompanying the Manhattan Project, the Second World War project to develop first atom bomb. Likewise, the noble gases could easily be separated once cryogenics became feasible, thanks to the invention of Dewar's flask. In the mid-19th century, Bunsen and Kirchhoff found that different elements emitted light of different frequencies when hot, and used this to identify new elements such as rubidium and cesium. Paul-Émile Lecoq de Boisbaudran was one of the first people to exploit this new technique. He came from Cognac in France, so you'll not be surprised to learn his family made cognac. In 1875, he identified gallium from two spectroscopic lines in the spectrum of a sample of zinc blend from the Pyrenees, and isolated the element later this year, thus filling one of the gaps left in the periodic table by Mendeleev. At that time, scientists were using improved techniques such as fractional crystallization to obtain the individual lanthanides from mixtures. In 1879, Lecoq went on to extract pure samarium from the mineral samarskite, whilst in 1886 he was the first person to identify dysprosium by separating its oxide from holmium oxide. To achieve the separation, he used precipitations with ammonia and with oxalate, checking the fractions spectroscopically. It took him over 30 goes to do this, so he named the element accordingly, from the Greek word dyspositos, meaning hard to get at. All the lanthanides are rather similar to each other chemically, showing gradations in properties from one end of the series to the other, but electronic and magnetic properties, which depend on the number of electrons, vary a lot from one lanthanide to its neighbour, giving each lanthanide its own particular uses. One very unusual application for dysprosium is in the alloy terphenol D, which also contains terbium and iron. It is a magnetostrictive material, meaning that when it is put into a magnetic field, it changes shape reversibly. This has found applications in ships' sonar systems, underwater radar using sound waves, and in all sorts of sensors and transducers. Along with a little cesium iodide and mercury bromide, dysprosium iodide is used in medium-source rare earth lamps, otherwise known as MSRs. These are discharge lamps where the dysprosium iodide emits over a range of frequencies, giving a good colour rendering. Cesium iodide helps broaden the emission, while the mercury bromide reduces corrosion of the bulb and for the tungsten electrodes. These have applications including the film industry. The lamps have a high luminous efficiency, whilst they can be dimmed appreciably while still maintaining the same colour temperature. Like other heavier lanthanides, dysprosium has a lot of unpaired electrons, giving both the metal and its ions a high magnetic susceptibility. This has led to applications in data storage devices, such as compact disks. Dysprosium has a high thermal neutron absorption cross-section, meaning that it is very good at absorbing neutrons. Because of this, it is used to make the control rods that are put into nuclear reactors to absorb excess neutrons and stop fission reactions getting out of control. There seem to be a lot of dys words around at the start of the 21st century. They have the Greek prefix for abnormal or bad. Dyslexic, dyspepsia and dysfunctional spring to mind. Dysprosium is not like that. It has many applications, and as time goes on, it will have even more.
So elementally changing the connotations of the Greek prefix. That was Simon Cotton explaining the widely applied chemistry of dysprosium. Now, next week, a mythological element that appears to be weeping.
The element was christened after Niobe, the daughter of Tantalus in Greek mythology. Niobe had a fairly hard time of it. She was foolish enough to suggest that rather than worshipping invisible gods, it might be a nice idea to appreciate real people for a change. The Greek gods weren't very forgiving of this kind of hubris, and as a punishment killed all, or at least most, of her 12 children, the Niobids. As a result, Niobe fled to Mount Syphilus and was turned to stone. There is to this day a rock formation in the Aegean region of Turkey, termed the Weeping Rock, that resembles a woman's face, purportedly Niobe's. Water seeps through the porous limestone of the Weeping Rock and is said to resemble Niobe's unceasing tears at the fate of the Niobids.
And move away from the tears to find out the colourful and superconducting chemistry of the element niobium with John Steed in next week's Chemistry in Its Element. Until then, I'm Meera Senthilingam and thank you for listening.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.